Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation is from our epistle lesson that Pastor Ganey just read. You may be seated. We're going to have a little bit of a Bible study again this morning. I would suggest that you would either pull out one of the Pew Bibles and open up to Ephesians chapter 3, or that you would open up your worship folder to Ephesians chapter 3 so that you can follow along with our text for today. You know, this last Wednesday when we had Bible class, I told them that I absolutely was not going to preach on Ephesians because there's just so much there. I was going to focus on the gospel lesson with Jesus walking on the water, and yet here I am a few days later, and I'm preaching on the text that I said I wasn't going to preach on. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, St. Paul says, pray without ceasing. And that really is good advice. I mean, think about it. If you're praying to God, you really can't be sinning, can you? It's kind of hard to be praying and sinning at the same time. So praying without ceasing is a great idea. And you know, a couple weeks ago, I preached on Ephesians chapter 1, where St. Paul delivers that long, long prayer of blessing. That prayer is 204 words long, and it's one long sentence in the original Greek. And in that prayer, St. Paul just lists all of the wonderful works of God. And yet, in that whole prayer, he doesn't ask for one single thing. And that is one of the hallmarks of that prayer. It is a blessing prayer, and without asking for something, it makes it so special. Right after that prayer, St. Paul follows immediately with a thanksgiving prayer, giving thanks to God for the Ephesians. He asks God to give them a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. And then comes our text for today. And we see St. Paul offering up yet another prayer, asking that the Ephesians have spiritual strength. But this prayer, too, is very, very unique, because St. Paul asks for some very valuable things for the church of Ephesus. He asked for some spiritual things that would really benefit their lives. St. Paul prays out of pastoral concern for them because he's the one that started up that church in Ephesus. And so he begins by bowing his knees before the Father, or bending his knees to or towards the Father. One of the things you got to know is that in Jewish practice, and even in the practice of the early church of Jesus' day, they prayed standing up, so much like we do. And St. Paul here is bowing his knees. He's getting on his knees to pray, which they rarely ever did. But by kneeling, St. Paul shows his submission to God. It's an act of worship towards God. So while it's not the usual posture for Jews or early Christians to pray in, it is very, very appropriate for one to show proper reverence towards our God. And then Paul begins his prayer. We learn that it is the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. And we know that God names us. He names us in our baptism. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. And in that, God gives us our names. But it's not that God just names us. In Hebrew thought, when you name something, you have authority over it. And so when God created the world, God names the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars because he has authority over them. But when it comes to naming the animals, he brings the animals to Adam, and Adam names all the animals because Adam has authority over all the animals. And so by recognizing that God has given names to all the families in heaven and on earth, St. Paul is acknowledging that God has authority over all people. St. Paul then asks God that we may be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit. He says specifically, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Well, when you read that, when you hear that, and ask yourself, who is the richest being ever created or that ever existed? And who has more glory than anybody else? Well, the answer is easy. It's God. God is the richest. God has the most glory. And so we can be assured that we are going to be strengthened by God through his Holy Spirit in our inner being because God is the richest and because God has all of that glory. And so our strengthening is assured. And next, St. Paul says, may Christ dwell in our hearts through faith. And again, that promise comes true in our baptism. That promise comes true each and every time we hear God's word. And that promise comes true especially when we receive the Lord's Supper, when we receive the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we receive that bread and wine in the Lord's Supper. Basically, whenever we come in contact with God's means of grace, his word, baptism, the Lord's Supper, Jesus Christ is right there offering us his gifts. He is dwelling in our hearts through faith. And then St. Paul does something that is really, really strange. He says, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. But it stops right there. St. Paul never states what he wants us to comprehend. He doesn't include an object in that sentence or that phrase. In the next phrase, he asks that we may know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, but that isn't what he wants us to comprehend. It doesn't work grammatically with the Greek, and so it's just weird that he prays that we comprehend, but he doesn't lay out for us what he wants us to comprehend. So it's just one more of those things that we're going to have to ask St. Paul when we get up to heaven. What did you want us to comprehend? And then St. Paul makes his final request, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Think about that for just a second. Be filled with all the fullness of God. He's asking that we feeble, sinful, finite people might be filled with the immortal, supreme, omniscient, all-powerful, infinite God. That's a tall order, especially as we live in this sinful earth. And while St. Paul might be praying for it for us and for the Ephesians, I'm not really sure that it's going to happen on earth. I'm not even sure that it's possible for that to happen in heaven. Because God is infinite and we are finite. How can we be filled with the fullness of God? Oh, absolutely sure. It would be amazing if we were. I mean, if we were filled with the fullness of God, our church would be filled today. Because everybody would want to come and worship God. If we were filled with the fullness of God, mission work all over the world would be fruitful and effective. If we were filled with the fullness of God, there wouldn't be any sin. And yet there is. And so we just have to wait and see what God has in store for us when we get into heaven. And finally, St. Paul comes to the conclusion of this prayer, which again, like the prayer a couple weeks ago, is a doxology or a prayer of praise to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you think that asking for the fullness of God is a tall order, then this is going to get to you as well. Because St. Paul writes, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think." Now, we know that God can do all things. The Bible tells us that with God, nothing is impossible. And we see that really spelled out for us in these few words here. You see that phrase, far more abundantly? Well, in the Greek text, that is just one word, but it's a very special word. Imagine the word abundant with two prefixes added onto it. And each of those prefixes adds more abundance to it. So it's not just the word abundant, but it's the word more abundant. And it's not the word just more abundant, but it's much more abundance. So one person suggested that we translate it as, "Now to him who is able to do most super abundantly than we all ask or think." There really is just no way we can express this in English. It just doesn't work. It's something that would have come across very well in the Greek, but you cannot express it in English. God is going to do the impossible, and he does the impossible in his acts to save us, in his acts to take care of us. And so that's our little Bible study today. I think it would be really cool to do a Bible study on all the prayers of the Bible, but I did some research this week, and one source said that there are 650 prayers recorded in the Bible. That's a lot of prayers. Each one is unique in that they ask for different things. They have different purposes. Some of those prayers, like the one a couple weeks ago, they don't even ask for a thing, but they just list the wonderful things that God has done for his people. And in this prayer for today, it asks for some really, really amazing spiritual gifts from God. And the one thing is, because these are spiritual gifts, they are things that strengthen your faith. They are things that strengthen your relationship with God. And we know that they are things that God wants us to have. So may God bless you. May God bless you super most abundantly as you continue in your prayers to Him. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.